Our text this morning is from Revelation 19. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Again, we have many that are dealing with health issues. We need to be praying for them, seeing how we can help them, praying for the work, praying for the word that is going out, that we would see fruit come from it. And again, just be busy helping one another this week. So this morning, the title of the lesson is, His Wife Has Made Herself Ready. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, as we're going through this lesson, I don't want you to think about somebody else. I want you to think about yourself. His wife has made herself ready. We're talking about the bride of Christ. We're talking about the church. We need to make ourselves ready for Christ. It's important to be ready. In Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We should live in a state of readiness. Matthew 25:10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. We need to always be ready, because there's going to come a time when that door of opportunity is closed and we no longer have a chance. Luke 1:17, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, friends, that's what we're talking about. We need to be a people prepared for the Lord. And friends, I cannot get you ready. You must get ready yourself. You cannot get me ready. I can't do anything to help you make it to heaven. All I can do is read God's word to you. Each one of us has an individual responsibility. Each one of us has individual accountability. Each one of us has to get ourselves ready for when Christ returns. We need to understand that we are the bride of Christ. When we talk about a bride, we think of a woman, and rightfully so. But in this illustration of the church is the bride of Christ. We are the wife of Christ. So we're going to look at this getting ready, making ourselves ready in light of this illustration. When we stop and think about the marriage relationship, marriage is a covenant relationship. Well, what does that mean? A covenant is a legal document. It's a legal relationship. There are two parties involved, and the covenant is bound by law. Whatever says goes. It's the law. The marriage covenant is not to be entered into lightly. And again, with all of these things, when we think about the physical marriage relationship, we're also thinking about the church, our relationship to Christ. We should not enter into the relationship of being his bride lightly, because there are responsibilities that are involved. There are rights, there are duties, and there are blessings. The blessings far outweigh the duties that we have. We do not deserve anything that Christ and God are willing to give us. They have promised it to us, But there are duties that we must carry out in order to receive those blessings. We have obligations. We are obliged to do something for Christ because of what He has done for us. And there also, all of this must be done with love and affection. God created us with emotions. We were made in the image of God. God loves, He hates, He can be angered, He can be jealous, He can be saddened. We have those emotions too, and if we are in a marriage relationship, we have probably experienced them, not because of our spouse, but because we are human. It is something that is common to mankind. So in this relationship that we have with Christ, in this marriage relationship, there is love and affection. If it's a cold relationship, something is missing, something is wrong. So when we think about his wife making herself ready, the first point I want us to consider is that Christ wants his wife to love him. So I have to ask myself, as part of the church, as the bride of Christ, do I love him? That sounds like a basic question that everybody would say yes. But when we turn to John chapter 21, and beginning in verse 15, Jesus speaking to Peter says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" And it doesn't say what these are. Some commentators speculate that Jesus may have been pointing to the boats. "Peter, do you love me more than this fishing business? You came back here to go fishing. Do you love me more than these boats and these fish?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He may have been talking about that. He may have been talking about the disciples. But Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So if Jesus were to come and ask you, "Do you love me?" how long would it take us to respond? Would we say, "Lord, you know that I love you"? Or would we be stunned and stop and have to think, "Or why is he asking me this? Is there something in my life?" Peter loved Christ. But Christ wanted Peter to understand that this love must be very deep. It must be very deep, and he must love Christ more than anything else. In Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." When we talk about Christ giving himself for the church, that doesn't mean that he went out and he worked extra hard and he did this and he did that. He gave his life. He loved us so much that he gave his life. And we need to be willing and ready to give our life to him. Have we made ourselves ready for Christ? Christ wants his wife to love him. Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." This again, back to the covenant aspect, a legal binding document, these words which I command you today, this covenant relationship, God commanded them, these words shall be in your heart. We don't just give the words of God lip service. They come from the heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What does diligently mean? It means you're always striving all that you can to do the very best with your children. We, the early years, form so much of the child's life. That is the most opportune time to teach them about God. That's why on Wednesday evenings, Hannah is back there for so many minutes at the beginning of class, just to start getting her used in this kind of a setting, not just the home, but in this kind of a setting, to learn about God's Word. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And all the time, you shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, all the time. What happens today is we do this, we do that, we do this, and then we say, oh, here's 5 minutes, we better talk about something from the Bible. You can do that, but the more effective way is to weave the Bible in and out through your whole day, all the time. So Christ wants his wife to love him. That's repeated over and over. And if we want to make ourselves ready for Christ, we must love him as the Bible teaches. Christ wants his wife to be attractive, not necessarily physically attractive, that is for the world and not for Christ. Now, we like attractive people, and I use that term like loosely. I know someone that married a woman that was in clothing business, modeling business, and she always wanted to look the best, and they were never on time anywhere. She would have to put on her makeup just so, do her eyelashes just so, do her fingernails, have to wait for her fingernails to dry. That was attractive in one sense, very unattractive in the reality sense of the day-to-day dealings with that. Christ wants his wife to have an attractive personality. And again, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me. Do I have an attractive personality? Do I attract people to God? Do I attract people to the Bible? Do I attract people to wanting to learn to know more about God? Am I friendly? Am I kind? Am I humble? Am I compassionate? Am I gentle? Am I lovable? And friends, if you have to tell somebody that you're one of these, if I have to tell somebody I'm kind, I'm not kind. If I have to tell somebody that I'm humble, I'm not humble. These are traits. We develop them, and they don't need words to explain them. We need to be gentle. And the traits are one thing, and even just talking about these, one of the things that goes a long way in being friendly, kind, humble, compassionate, gentle, and lovable is the tone that we use with people. And I can say these words in one way, and people will understand that. And I can say these same words in a very harsh, loud tone, and then people just step back. That's not being attractive. We want to be attractive to the world. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. What is kindness? What is goodness? Can you define it? We could define it. Do you know it when you see it? We know it when we don't see it. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And again, this gentleness is this humility. It's this power under control, like a horse that is broken. It has power, but it is under control. And to be gentle, we have power, but we are under control of God. We are under the control of Christ. When we want to speak in a harsh tone, we don't, because we let Christ control our speech. We look to the Bible, we look for these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. If we are not bearing these fruits, we do not have the Spirit. If we are bearing some other fruit, we do not have the Spirit. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Again, we don't just give it lip service. I'm a Spirit-filled man. We don't just give it lip service. We live it. Christ wants his bride to be ready. Christ wants his bride to be attractive. We have to ask ourselves, do people think of you when they think of these fruits? When they think of love, joy, and peace, am I the first person that they think of? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Do they think of me? Gentleness, self-control. Do they think of me? I have to ask myself that, but you have to ask yourself that. You have to, so you can say, other than myself, who else has long suffering? See, we need to get in the mindset of making the Bible applicable to our life instead of reading it for somebody else. Boy, sister so-and-so sure needs to have this. Brother so-and-so sure needs to have this. I need to have this. Again, I have no control over you being ready. I can only get myself ready for Christ. I can only make myself ready for when Christ returns for his bride, for his church. Well, Christ wants his wife to be loyal to him. Christ doesn't want a wife that just wants him in an emergency. How can we understand that? Well, think about your prayer life. Do you pray all the time? Or do you pray when there's just an emergency? God, this happened, I need you now. God, that happened, I need you again. God doesn't want us like that. He wants us all the time. He wants us to be loyal to him. Unfaithful Christians break the heart of Jesus. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, no other lovers. God wants us to love him with all of our heart. Well, what do you mean God doesn't want us to have other lovers? That's anything that we put before God. It could be work, it could be recreation, it could be some hobby. It could be anything. It could be anything that in and of itself is innocent, but if we put it before God, that becomes a lover. That becomes an idol. Then we are committing idolatry. So how is this illustrated in the Old Testament? One of the classic examples of being loyal to him, God told Hosea in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, he said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So Hosea the prophet, God says, I want you to understand what it means to be loyal to me. And just so you understand, I want you to go and marry a harlot. I want you to go and marry a prostitute. I want you to marry her because she is not going to be faithful to you. Hosea 13:4, "Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no other God but me, for there is no Savior beside me." And see, when Hosea married that woman that was not going to be faithful to him, he started to understand how God felt when Israel was not faithful to God. Again, it's that marriage relationship. And if anybody has been married and their mate has been unfaithful, the innocent party, I'm sure, is going to say, "How could you do this to me? We entered into a covenant relationship. We made vows. How could you be unfaithful to me?" But that's what happens when we go out and sin and we trivialize sin. And we say it's not a big deal. And then we are unfaithful to God. And Hosea learned that not only when Israel broke, when they sinned, that they broke God's law. Hosea learned that when they sinned, it broke God's heart. Because God wanted them to love him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, just as God loves us. We cannot begin to understand how greatly God loves us. That he loved us so much that he sent his own son to suffer and die for us. Christ wants his wife to help him in business. A good wife will be interested in her husband's business and work. A man has never had a partner and a helper like a good wife. We go back to the beginning, back to Genesis. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.'" Means suitable for him. God made a helper for Adam. God made Eve for a wife and a helpmate for Adam. You see, some men and their wives, and you can see some men where their wives just compliment them, and I don't mean give them verbal compliments, but they compliment, they fill in the rough spots. The wife helps the husband so much, and that is as God wants it to be. And then you see some men that are good men, and whatever they try to do is hindered because of their wives. Their wives hurt their business, in quotes. God designed a man, a wife, to help the man in his business. So when we think about being the bride of Christ, when we think about helping Christ in his business, what is the business that Christ came for? His name says it. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save the world." Our job as the wife of Christ is to help save the world, to spread the gospel, to share the gospel. Have we made ourselves ready for that? Christ wants his wife to be like him. He wants us to be like him in several different ways, in love. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So weren't they commanded to love one another in the Old Testament? They were. But when he says a new commandment, this is totally different than that love that he was talking about in the Old Testament. "A new commandment I give you." And what's new about it? "That you love one another as I have loved you." You be willing to lay down your life and die for someone. "And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another." If they see the love that you have, where you're willing to do whatever it takes for someone, they are going to know that you're my disciples. And as a side note, I always try to point it out with this verse. Here are the three ways that we have of establishing authority. a commandment, a new commandment I give you, then an approved example, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And then the unavoidable conclusion, the necessary inference, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Christ wants us to be like him in forgiveness. Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you have a grudge against somebody and you're unwilling to forgive them? It's so sad that we see in the Lord's family two brothers, two sisters, and there is something between them, and one will not forgive the other one. They won't talk to the other one. They avoid them. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So Christ wants us to be prepared, to be ready, and forgive others of our trespasses, of their trespasses. He wants us to be like him in mercy. Luke 6:36, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. See, when Christ wants us to be like him, it's being like the Father and all the qualities that the Father, the characteristics that the Father has, being his children, we are to have those same characteristics. Christ wants his wife to like the things that he likes. It's a sad sight to see a husband involved in good things, involved in eternal things, and his wife has no interest in it. We need to be involved in eternal things. Christ wants his wife to be like him. Again, the greatest work that there is. I don't like to use this church, but I don't like to use this term, but I use it because people relate to it. Go to church. We don't go to church. We are the church. We come to Bible study. We come to worship. But the world uses this phrase. But if we get away from using Bible phrases, how are we going to get people to understand the Bible? But I use this a long way around to make the point. Jesus likes to go to church. Well, Jesus established the church, so I'm not talking about the church. But what I'm getting at is in Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. If you were looking for Jesus on the Sabbath, where would you find him? You would find him in the synagogue. If people are looking for me on Sunday, where are they going to find me? Are they going to go to the ballpark, to the lake? Are they going to go to the amusement park? Where are they going to find me? It should be our custom as a Christian to be in the assembly, to be like him. Christ wants his wife to be like him. Friends, to be the wife of Christ, we have to be a New Testament Christian. We have to be baptized into Christ so that we can be added into the body, added to the church. In 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Once we become a Christian, again, we have to encourage one another and be mindful that we do not fall away. And when we become a Christian, we have to understand that we are the bride of Christ. We are the wife of Christ. There are certain obligations and duties and responsibilities. Christ wants us to love him. Christ wants us to be attractive. Christ wants us to be loyal to him. Christ wants us to help him in his business. And Christ wants us to be like him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Friends, are you ready? We don't know when Christ will return. We don't know if we may die before he returns. We don't know when we will die. Life is uncertain. The only thing that we can be certain about is we must be ready so that if we die or Christ returns, is that we are in him, so that when Christ comes back for his wife, he will take us home to heaven. Friends, if there's anybody outside of the body this morning, if there's anyone that needs to make confession, needs to make prayers, ask for prayers, needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.